'Tis a grassy course with rolling knolls. The teapad is situated under a canopy of beautiful old growth trees. There is 460 feet of landing space before the pond comes into play. There's another old growth tree on the left of the fairway. An ideal shot lands just before the water, and you're approaching onto a peninsula. There are a plentiful amount of Canadian geese, and it is a treacherous hole coming down the stretch. What are you going to do?
It is Stockton, hole 17.
Ding, 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 ding.
Let's go. I got a point. I'm on the board, baby.
Simon has a point. Simon
Wait,
has a point.
But I didn't get the course name right. I said Stockton. Obviously, the course name is...
No. Oh, Joey can swoop in and get it. No.
Swenson Park. Swenson
Park. I would have never...
What a steal.
I would have never remembered that.
That point transferred to me? Is that actually how this works?
No, I think Stockton was fair enough.
I was nowhere.
Simon's heart was in the right place. His heart was on hole 17.
I was in Jonesboro on that par 5 for the longest time, but it didn't quite match up with the peninsula. But that's going to be our first major of the year. Swenson Park in Stockton, California. Controversial decision by the PDGA, but... You know, we're here for it. We're going to do it, and welcome back.
All I'm going to say to the Champions Cup being there is they run a good event. OTB puts on a good show, and a big part of running a gigantic major super disc golf event comes down to the staff. And shout out to OTB, Sean Jack. I'm excited, in all honesty.
Can I tell you a story? From last year's OTB
story
Open.
Time with Joey Tomalley.
Wait.
Yes, please.
Before story, let's say first, welcome back to Crushed Pepper.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Back to the podcast. This is episode 5. Good to see you guys. And now, Joey, you can start your story.
Welcome back, little peppies. Thanks for being here. My story from the OTB Open last year started off at probably 7:20, 7:30 in the morning. I was caddying for Maria. I don't know if you were there, Eagle, but Murtana was on the card. And it was, I want to say, round 2 of OTB Open. And they, as you guys remember, they have this big setup by hole 1. The stage with these couches and these, like, fidget toys and the lost and found disc rack. And it's all, like, built up. And then they have their whole starter's tent with the... Marshall, we had the starter, I don't remember his name, but he had a fantastic voice, just like a radio voice, and he was also the DJ, so I don't know if you guys remember, but he was like hand-picking these songs for each card of players as they teed off, and he like had the mixer so he could like adjust the music in and out at perfect volumes, and so he would like play the song. And he did a super good job of, like, reading the vibes. And then he would, like, bring it down to announce you off. And he did it, like, in the beat. And there was this great moment for Maria and Ratana on this morning where they got announced with Kona Montgomery. And he played Al Green, Love and Happiness. And I swear to God, all 4 of them teed off on beat by complete coincidence. Like, perfectly on beat. And... all 4 of them threw it inside the circle, and Maria hadn't even come within circle 2 at any point in practice that entire tournament, and there was 3 out of 4 birdies on that card, and it was one of the crazier, like, little moments of magic I've ever seen in disc golf, and I remember looking across the stage after the final person put it in the circle at the starter, and I was walking off, and I was like, what did you just do, man? And he looked at me, and he was like, it's something about the music. It can just get it just right.
in tune with the frequency of synchronicity of the universe. Absolutely amazing. Ratana's never told me that story, but I'm glad that you remember it.
It sounds to me like that's another proof we live in a simulation. That's a glitch in the matrix right there. It can't just happen by coincidence.
I had goosebumps for at least 45 seconds straight, and I don't think I've ever had that. It was really, really interesting.
My goodness. Wow.
What a moment.
You know, there's magical moments on the disc golf course. I mean, magical moments everywhere if you look for them. Am I right?
Yeah, a wise man named Erno.
Very wise man.
Once told me, everything that can happen will happen. And that stuck with me. Especially on the disc golf course. God, that is true. Everything that can happen will happen.
The least likely scenario is the most likely scenario. That's how I always think about it. I mean, just think of James throwing in at Worlds. It's like, that's absolutely the least likely scenario. Or even Ezra making that putt on 18 in New Zealand. Unreal. We could go down a deep dive if we wanted to, but what do we want to talk about, boys? Are we talking about what our previous week was like? I know I did some somewhat exciting stuff. Nothing too crazy has happened in the past week in the world of disc golf. Still in the off season, still preparing for the season at large, which is starting pretty dang soon. I'll be flying to Florida in less than 3 weeks to get a move on the season. I'm actually getting really excited, feeling good, playing some disc golf, playing well. And yeah, what about you guys?
Well, first off, I want to bring up the nose whistle gate from last week. I don't know if you remember, but
oh yeah,
after last week's podcast, I actually received a message on Instagram by a listener and a fan of the show who said that he was listening to the podcast with his girl, and
Shout out.
She could hear the entire time was someone's nose whistling. And I was like, I listened to the podcast, I don't remember being distracted or hearing anything. So I messaged our group and our editor, and we actually did a little deep dive into the tracks and isolated each person's voice and listened for the quiet areas as well. We could not find any evidence for any nose whistling happening during that podcast. So to whoever sent me that message, there was no nose whistling as far as we know, right?
But you know what there was, right?
I mean, my daughter was screeching and crying in the background a little bit, maybe, but that doesn't sound like a nose whistle, does it?
Maybe to some.
Okay, well, anyways.
Potentially picking up on some very specific frequencies that we can't hear. That's the only thing maybe I could think of.
Well, anyways, so
we're just trying to say we're sorry. We're really sorry.
Yeah, anyone listening,
we don't mean
feel free
it
to message us on Instagram. And if you have any constructive criticism or feedback, we will most likely read it and try to improve, because we do not want to be nose whistles if possible. And next up.
Is that the name of the episode? Nose whistle?
Nose whistle gate?
No nose whistle.
That's not a bad one for now. I just want to say my week was pretty chill. I'm doing mostly family stuff. The weather here is just miserable. Not just cold and snowy and wet and just gross, but also just so windy every day. And we all know that wind ruins everything. But I was able to book my first 3 touring events. So all flights, all Airbnbs, all rental cars are booked. I'm happy to say that my videographer and editor is along for the ride. So it's official. It's actually happening. I can't believe it. I don't really know exactly what to think yet, but it's going to be something. So I'm looking forward to it.
Can you say his name?
Yeah.
His name is Dustin Wolf.
The Dustin
Wolf. Some people might have heard of Dustin Wolf before. He has done some YouTube stuff in disc golf for probably at least a handful of years. I know he's done some tournament coverage that was more local to him on the Pennsylvania / New York / New Jersey kind of side of the country. He's also done some work with the Disc Golf Pro Tour, and I don't know, I think more like some contractor work for different companies, maybe, where he would just like jump in to do like some ads and like promotional stuff.
He actually flew out to Colorado, I believe, late 2021, and filmed some Cloudbreaker promo when I was on Discmania. So that's where I got to know Dustin.
Yeah, Dustin's a really, really good guy. He's actually just like barely a year older than me, but he looks to me like a real grown-up, and I don't really feel like a real grown-up yet. So when I saw his birth date, I was like, damn, I thought you were like much, much older than me. But
here's
I
a side
forgetting
tangent
that I'm freaking
off that.
32.
Do you feel like you're still a kid?
Yes, kind of. Not a kid, but like I think I'm like stuck at 17, 18, that kind of zone.
Like when I look in the mirror and see myself and think that I'm 26 years old, I don't believe it.
Try 32.
So you
it's
don't
way worse.
You don't believe that you're 32.
It makes no sense. In 8 years I'll be 40. I hope when I'm 40 I start feeling like a grown up.
You're gonna be a Masters player.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I look at people who are like walking around and they look like such grown-ups, especially in these parenting groups that we go to, like parent like kids events where we obviously see other parents, and some people just look like freaking parents. You just look at them and you're like, you are such a dad or you're such a mom. And I just, for some reason, I do not identify at all as a grown-up parent. It's very
odd. But some people don't. For example, looking at Germ, he doesn't look like he's 39. And you don't
you don't
look at him and be like, that's a grown up. I don't think of Germ as a grown up.
Yeah, I look at those people
I would say
with,
he's a grown up.
I look at those people with respect and admiration, because I think we are stuck with the notion that as you get older you have to get more serious. And I think that is a outdated, old-fashioned way of thinking and looking at things. And I think that the people like Jerm and Simon, and I think all of us, really, at least the four of us, like, I think we have managed to keep that childhoodness in us, I think, a bit more. And obviously, like, not doing the status quo career path is enabled us to do that even more, because the basis of our jobs is a pretty fun game that is a teenage love for a lot of us. So, you know, I mean, when did you obviously, like, I think maybe the most fun in disc golf for you is like 16, 17, 18 years old. And that's why your brain just wants to stay there, because it was like the best spot to be. And
are you saying we're stuck in time?
Well, it's just because we've been able to keep playing disc golf, and we've never actually had to like grow up and get a job, because we just kept playing disc golf.
Yeah, I've never had a job. It's kind of depressing when I think about it. Maybe a job is what makes you like mature and start being like a grown up.
Right, but what I'm questioning is like,
Eagles,
is that
you've
even
had
a
good job
thing?
At least. I don't know. I mean, there's definitely some pros about just being kind of an inner child a bit and having like less worries and just feeling a bit less responsible for everything and just kind of going a bit day by day. And I mean,
as long
I
as
think probably most people would trade with me,
as,
I think.
Yes, of course. 1,000%
well,
they
would. Trade with you. Anybody would trade with any of us.
Yeah.
I think as
it
long as you're
thinking about that.
Efficient to society and you're not like, you know, you're not a criminal, you're not negatively impacting the world. Which obviously you're not. You're doing quite the opposite. Most would argue that you're bringing a lot of benefit into it. Then it's like, as long as you...
I pay a lot of taxes.
Yeah, you pay a lot of taxes. And I think if you can contribute in a at least at the very worst, neutral, but any better than neutral, you can justify being happier or less mature. As long as you're like contributing or at least not detracting, you can be as goofy as you want, in my opinion. Because if you're productive, then I admire that that's how you get all your things done, in that attitude.
One thing before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about reading comments. And generally speaking, I don't really read too many comments. But I've been on like a disc golf kick lately. And I, for some reason, have just been dabbling in reading responses way more than I normally do. And it's been shocking how much positivity is out there. And usually, like, of course, there's going to be a few comments that say some weird things, but it just made me realize that, oh my gosh, what I do, and I know what you guys too, brings so much joy to a lot of people out there. And I always try to remember that, but sometimes, unfortunately, it goes by the wayside. Like, watching back on some of my vlogs from, like, say, events I didn't do very well at, I look back and it looks like a great time. And I question, why was I even so down in the dumps during that time? Like, for example, Europe. I didn't play very well in Europe, but the comments on the vlog were so positive, so encouraging. And to Joey's point, are we making the world a better place? And it kind of seems like we are, which is really cool to say. And I think that's a really good metric in what you're doing in your career and really just life at large.
Ikigai. Do you know that saying in Japanese? I don't know if it's a saying. I don't think that's the right.
I've heard ikigai, but I don't know what it means.
It's I don't know. It's not saying or maybe proverb. It's a Japanese. Let me look it up quickly. But what it means is it's three things. It's the center. It's like what you do that brings you the most purpose in life. And it is what you're good at, what you love, and what makes the world a better place. So if you can combine those three elements, that is their sense
ikigai.
Of ikigai. Yeah.
That's a good name for a disc, boys. Ego, that's your next disc.
Here we go.
It's ikigai?
It is a Japanese word for giving a person a sense of purpose or a reason for living.
Oh, that very much parallels.
It's an English word. It's an English word for someone who is a bit yucky. Ikigai.
Oh, oh boy.
That is my brain there. Sorry, guys.
That's our episode name.
There's the comedic relief we need. Ikigai.
Ikigai is the episode name.
You want ikigai, not ikigai. No, but that parallels another concept in Hinduism called dharma, which is basically finding your soul's purpose and adhering to it, which will give you the most success and joy in your life. But wow, that's a nice little tangent we went off on there. Where did we even come from? I think Simon was talking about what he was doing in his day-to-day life, and
we were talking about his.
Yeah, I had one more thing I wanted to.
We're talking about nose whistling.
I had one more thing I wanted to talk about how my week was, but maybe I should skip this now because we're already past 15 minutes.
No, keep going. I want to hear it.
Well, it's also a bit depressing. Obviously, there's been some sad freaking news in the U.S. How long was that ago? Like 2 or 3 days ago? For some reason, that plane crash that happened in D.C., like, it, like, affected me deeply. And I went in such a deep rabbit hole on YouTube about watching all the videos and all the explanations and all the probable causes and what went wrong and what we need to do better. And I fly so much. And just seeing who was on that plane and that it happened literally, like, 10 seconds before landing, it's just, oh, I don't know. The whole thing rattled me. And I was questioning my entire touring life and, I don't know, just really sad. I went in way too deep of a rabbit hole. Like, I literally couldn't sleep for, like, 2 days because I was, like, so traumatized by that event. I don't even know why. Like, tragic stuff happens all over the world every day. But for some reason, this plane crash rocked me.
Well,
I do not like it.
Tragic stuff happens in the world all the time, but a domestic plane crash in the U.S. hasn't happened in 16 years. Is that what they said? And I mean, it's I don't remember that one. So for me, it was like the biggest aviation issue since 9/11, which I don't remember at all. I was a year old, but something like this is shocking, and it's in DC, and it was a bunch of children. So it can be, I think that's huge for you too. You have two young kids. I think that hits home right away. And, it's really interesting. I have a student of mine who is a pilot, a co-pilot for Delta. And he said to me that he's pretty sure he has flown that same air. So he knows he's flown that aircraft, but he said thinks 5 to 6 times he's landed on that exact pattern, on that exact aircraft into Reagan. I asked him specifically, like, as a pilot, do you get nervous or do you choose to pay attention when you see things like that to try to not be rattled, or do you guys get really interested? And he said, oh, we're all kind of nerds about it, so we all get really interested. So everybody I know is watching, reading everything, trying to figure out, like, what went wrong. We're more, like, interested in just, like, the mistake, basically. And what he basically thinks happens is that the traffic that the helicopter thought they saw, or that the traffic they thought they saw was the right plane, and they were looking at a different plane. They were looking at the wrong plane. And it's one of those, but there's some stuff, I don't know what you found on your rabbit hole, but I have seen some stuff about showing some of the, like, how many hundreds of near misses happen. And I don't know if you, like, saw that on your rabbit hole, but that was interesting to see, because obviously, like, we all see the crash, but, like, how often do, like, near misses make headlines, and do they at all? I started thinking about that, just like, I wonder how often they almost crash.
Yeah, it's just complete craziness. Just, I mean, what really hits when you, like, see then, like, a dad being interviewed after that he just, like, lost his wife and daughter.
That's unreal. It's
like, what? Like, that is, I just, yeah, it's hard to really imagine. But let's talk about more happy stuff. I need more happy stuff. Do you guys have happy stuff?
A little bit about my week. I filmed a video with Bodanza reviewing the...
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
We reviewed the Balance V1, V2, and V3.
Oh.
I think that should be out by the time the podcast is out. And I really like all of them.
Perfect.
But I think my overall favorite is the V2. Just because it's the best of both worlds, I think it will seize it in very nice. It has very good torque resistance, but still nice stability. Overall, V2 was my favorite. I think the same with Bodanza. But that said, V3 was also really good. It reminded me of just a perfect reactor, just dead straight with just a teeny bit of fade. So I think the lower arm speed players probably will really like V3, but the V3 has a little bit of overlap with, say, Hex, Reactor, and whatnot.
So the V2 is the most stable, you think?
Well, V1's the most stable, but V2 is less stable than the V1.
V1 is the mystery box, Gyropalooza.
Yes.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, it's good to hear that you could tell a difference, because obviously discs will always, like, shape up slightly different depending on, like, the different colors and stuff too. Like, even within the same run of the same mold, there's always some slight variabilities. So I have a bunch of version 2s and a bunch of version 3s, and I really tried to send to Bodanza 2 discs that were shaped up pretty similarly, like the amount of dome it had, the hand feel it had, because there were definitely some within the runs that molded up a bit flatter, and those tended to be more overstable. So I gave you 2 discs that I thought were, like, that had, like, the most consistently and repeatable kind of feel and slight dome to it.
The good news is I don't think you can go wrong with either one, to be completely honest.
Well, I don't want too straight. I think a slightly too overstable would be better than slightly too straight, because a disc will always beat in. But if it's too straight from the start, it's just another hex, and that's just not what we want or need.
Right. I believe I can say this. Will, if I can't cut it out, the V2 and V3 are going to be approved. So you'll have V1, V2, and V3 approved. And for
one of them is just going to be a really small run that's going to be hard to get after you lose yours.
But at least for right now, I believe that I'm going to throw all three versions because I like what each individual one does for its unique shot shaping capabilities. And I like how they all feel virtually the same. And I can say that I just throw balances as mid-ranges, and that makes life way easier. So I think it's a phenomenal disc. I absolutely love it. Good job, Simon.
Here's a trivia for both of you that I just thought of based on that, Eagle. Would you rather have one mid-range in a variety of stabilities, like from new to beat in, or different versions? Or would you rather have like a different mid-range for each stability
it's
slot
the first option.
And get them? Yeah, exactly. But I'm the opposite as you. Like, I want to have fresh for each spot. So I just have like a tempo, a runway. I want to see what the balance does, because that would knock a reactor out of my bag super fast, because I love the fresh reactor, but after three trees, it's not the same. And but I'm the opposite, because like you, I think, are the same as Kale and maybe Simon too, where it's like, I remember Discmania, Eagle was like just MD3 from like the Beef Boy to the Flippy Boy, and you had three or four of them.
MD3 was kind of the only mid-range that Discmania had.
Right. That's fair.
Mm-hmm. I'm not married to that idea per se, but I do like having minimal molds possible and different stages of wear just for my OCD. It's nice to say that you only throw like 7 to 8 types of discs in your bag, but obviously just throw whatever works. But I strive to the first option on your would you rather question.
Simon?
I don't know. I'm thinking about right now that it would be so cool if every mold had like a little brother and a little sister, but with like in the same disc. Discraft has slightly done that with the Buzz, because they have like the Buzz OS and the Buzz SS. And then another one I thought about was the Ballista. There's the Ballista and then there's the Ballista Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think I've been talking to MVP also about maybe with future Simon line discs that will just have, for example, the balance and then a balance blank and a balance blank that are basically just little brother, little sister.
Isn't that Innova
to
too?
That same mold.
Innova did like Rock 3 or Rock X3 or like same idea basically.
Yeah, it's I guess
everyone's kind of done it.
It's a good idea because you piggyback off the success of whatever disc it may be, like Nuke SS, Nuke OS, Buzz OS, and whatnot. So it's a good idea.
I feel like Simon, you throw like whatever is right there in the moment that's working. Like whatever is like, I mean, you have your plan that you come with, but then if there's like, if discs are gone or things get lost or like something's not working, like for you, I feel like of all the disc golfers that I have seen who like are super particular and care about their discs a ton, outside of maybe Rick, I think Simon maybe cares like the least. As much as you somehow manage to keep the identical discs until the end of time, until they're so flippy they don't even fly like the original disc anymore, like that orange Tesla that's like essentially, I don't even know, it's like a virus now.
It's a faster Crave. Yeah. I mean, the more a disc beats in, the more magic it has. That's definitely true. I mean, if you look at some of the old school players, like all of their favorite discs were like just these beat up Eagles, beat up T-Birds. Like that's, I don't know, that's kind of like the disc golf generation I grew up in. Like that, you want like a matured bag in a way.
But when do you phase it out? What's the, like, at what point do you like tear the Band-Aid off and just move on to a disc that's right? Or do
sometimes discs get bad. Like they just flip.
Simon, you were saying that about that Tesla.
Without you even trying to make them flip.
Simon was saying that about that Tesla last year at points. There were points where you were like, that disc is done.
Yeah, but they come back. Like, it's weird. Like, sometimes my discs suddenly get stable again for a couple tournaments, and then they don't work anymore. And then, like, I bring them back a month later, and then they're stable again. It's very bizarre. I need to stop thinking about it because it's breaking my brain.
We don't want your brain broken.
Joey, where are you going? No, Eagle, have you said what you've been doing yet? You filmed the video. What else?
I've been doing what I'm doing, just training, eating healthy, and preparing myself for Florida. Trying to shoot some more content. I posted a preseason building the bag that just came out. And I have some fun stuff on the horizon. I have a video that I'm shooting with a professional ultimate player this coming week, which should be really cool. But other than that, just adhering to my routine and living my best life. So let's hear from Mr. Tamale Man. What have you been doing?
Well, it is an ever interesting fluctuation of 35 to negative 15 degrees here in Minneapolis, and we go from soggy to icy with about 2.5 inches of snow, and then it all disappears and then it all comes back. So it's been a very indoor based time for me, especially since the new year. But we did get some nice weather recently, enough to that even Joey crawled out of his den, out of hibernation, and I went outside and played a couple leagues outside, on Thursday. It was almost 50 degrees, and then on Saturday I played a Minnesota Classic League, the Hanson Park Winter Series, which is super awesome. Bi-weekly. Is it bi-weekly? Does that mean every other week? I don't know if that's right.
It means every other week.
Oh, ho, ho.
You got it. Congratulations.
All through the winter, and we play on cone baskets, for those of you who don't know what those are.
Those things.
Yeah.
I think I've played that course.
Yep. It's the only course in the world that has cone baskets. We used to have a few.
Is that where you saw Matt Sweets?
No, I saw him at a putting league. That was super odd run-in. That was a super odd run-in. He was leaving, and I was going to this indoor putting league at the American Legion, and it was his first time ever going, and it was my first time ever going, so that was a nice run-in. But the Hanson Park Winter Series is a classic, and it was, after just 4 or 5 days in the upper 40s, we showed up yesterday, and it was like cloudy and 23, and then by the time we got halfway through the round, it was like 22, 30 mile an hour winds, and it started snowing, and I was caught unprepared with my clothing, and let's just say that out of all the people playing that league, I am definitely on the far end of the body fat percentage spectrum, and I froze like an icicle. And I bailed with 7 holes left. I went to my car. I could not even, like, hold the disc. I was so cold. And it was one of the more embarrassing Joey Minnesota moments I think I've ever had, because I don't really see myself as a person who is too cold for anything.
That must be really embarrassing. Do you feel like you've been disowned by your Minnesota brethren?
For some reason, my card mates didn't seem to give me that hard of a time, which I honestly was like, when I first even brought it up verbally, I was kind of hoping that they would all be like, what are you crazy? Like, no way, dude, you can't leave. And they were all just sort of like, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. If you're cold, like, go warm your hands up. I mean, you just took a triple bogey, so.
I wonder what they said when you left.
I don't know. I don't want to think about that. But, no, It's been fun. I have less than 2 weeks until I leave for Florida, so I'm just ripping through my routines of training and eating, and then just also packing the car and making sure that the suitcases for everything fit right and I've got the right shoes, and juggling, just looking at the Airbnbs with, you know, who's going to stay where and who else wants to stay, because, you know, once you get associated with being somebody who has groups with Airbnbs, then there's always people reaching out, seeing if you have rooms. And so you have to get good at saying no when you're full, because I have a bad issue with overbooking things. And so I've done a good job this year at just like not like overcommitting. So I feel good about like the sizes of people that we have. And yeah, it's all coming to an end. The off season that I was dreading when I went into it is almost over, and I am very pleasantly surprised with how it all went. Do you want me to do my In the Lab now, or do you want to do a game and then bounce back to it?
I think since I kind of know what your In the Lab is, it piggybacks well off what you've been talking about. So okay. Send it, Joey.
All right. So In the Lab, we are going to talk about something that I have been doing since January 5th. For those who don't know, I would say most people don't know, I have ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. I think a lot of people know what that is. I think a lot of people probably think they have it. And I think a lot of people do have it. It's a very common thing, and it's on a variety of levels. I would say from my own research and experience, I have pretty severe ADHD, so it just makes it difficult for me to do long-term based things that require like daily mundane processes, or at least like my brain doesn't directly connect the dots between like the rewards for that and like the rewards for like short-term stuff. And so essentially I have, you know, a whole, once you've been diagnosed in this country, at least you get a team, you have a psychiatrist, and they usually tell you to have a therapist, and you have your medications. And so I have that whole group of people, and they're all nice. And the medication is definitely does something. But yeah, one of them had suggested this a few years ago about this type of, essentially the psychiatrists will tell you, for anybody who gets diagnosed with any sort of a mental health disorder like ADHD or anxiety or depression, they'll always sort of say to you that the long-term solution is a combination of medication and therapy. And so no matter how good your medication is, you have to be doing other things as well in order to actually like achieve the mental health that you want. And so now my therapists had suggested this form of therapy called neurofeedback a few years ago, and we had looked into it, and it was essentially this type of therapy that is a little bit more intensive and a little bit more kind of hands-on, I think, than a lot of therapies for ADHD. It really forces you to focus. Essentially, it's like brain training. And so it was something we looked at, but you have to do a lot of sessions in order to actually have success. And so it was something I had in the back of my mind. And another just crazy coincidence, through one of my students that I was teaching this off season, I found out that his mother is one of the co-founders of a brain health clinic that is exclusively for neurofeedback. And so they are the type of place that has the capacity to do the full treatment for someone like me when I only have like a month or two in the off season to do it. And that was like always the issue with the other places, is they were such a small practice. They take like 6 or 7 months to do the full training. And so I found this place, and it all happened pretty fast. And I did a brain scan, and they found the areas in my brain where they found lack of focus, and they call it dysregulation. And then basically every day for the past month, outside of Sunday, I go in at least once a day. Most times it's morning and night for an hour, and I do this brain training. And I essentially have this EKG hat on my head, and I'm hooked up to a bunch of wires, and I sit in this kind of recliner chair, and they have this kind of gel that they have to put onto all the nodes where the hat connects to your scalp, and so I got a buzz cut because of that, just so that I don't have to...
That's why.
Yeah, it was because I didn't want to wash... My hair was pretty long, and so I didn't want to have to wash a ton of hair twice a day. And, yeah, you sit in this recliner, and you essentially fly this simulator. So I'm flying this plane in a simulator, and there are these... my goal is to fly this plane through this ring that's in the simulator, and the ring and the plane are like completely controlled by my brain. So the ring sits in the sky, and then my brain essentially, it can move the plane by thinking and by staying focused on the ring. And if you get distracted, the plane just like swoops out to the, just glitches to the other side and goes the other way. And so you have like immediate visual feedback for when you lose focus. And then the other part that's even harder is that after they do the brain analysis, they figure out what parts of your brain are really good at focusing, and then they eliminate the ability for any of those signals to get read by the game. And so it forces only your weakest parts of your brain to try and focus this plane. And so your eyes can see how dysregulated it is, because otherwise the focus parts of your brain would just take over and you would never know that you had those sections that were really dysregulated. So it's been a very life-changing, eye-opening process. It's been nuts. I mean, obviously it's become my life the past month, twice a day, but it's been pretty nuts.
So going into a session versus coming out of a session, how do you feel? Like, I imagine afterwards, you're almost in like a state of meditation. You're like probably pretty sharp and I would imagine ready to tackle the world. Like that sounds incredible.
It depends. Like I'm definitely pretty aware. And at the beginning, right off the bat, at the beginning, it was tricky. At the beginning, I sucked and I had no idea how to do it. I didn't even understand how to like quiet my mind. I mean, I had never even understood the concept of focusing and relaxation being like so linked,
i.e. meditation.
Yeah. And so usually now I have strategies, like I understand how to fly it, but it's still, that means that I can momentarily like find the flow state. So that was the first solution, right? So we talk about the flow state all the time. And so the first part of the puzzle was just being able to find it. And now the training part is holding it. And I would say when I come out, I'm exhausted. I feel like my head just did a workout. Like I'm like, cause it takes so, it you're working out your brain. So as you go—
How long's a session?
They're an hour long, and they go in 5 to 6 7-minute rounds. So you go for 7 minutes and then you stop, and you can take like a 10-second break or a minute break, and the technician will talk to you, ask you some feedback, and they are all like licensed psychologists, so they all have these strategies and things to like tips to give you. So I've been learning a lot about I mean, like intrusive thoughts. So like for me, the most classic example on the simulator was I would be like, once I figured out how to do it, I would just be locked in, like going right at this ring, perfect and everything. And then at the last second, like it would just like miss completely. It would like duck out of nowhere. And we found that there was this like fear response, this like anticipatory fear response. And the technician like figured out how to like instruct me into like a breathing pattern that was able to like completely eliminate that. And essentially I like went from never being able to make a ring to like getting like a huge score difference in like basically one session, and just these little things that they can find out. But the other difficulty—
It's like having a putt to win and then psyching yourself out.
Yeah, oh, for sure. It's like that. Exactly. The amount of parallels that I see every time I go into that training to like the things on the disc golf course. Like, it is so easy to connect, like, every single skill in that training to everything that I do. And, I mean, I would say, like, 6 or 7 days in, I instantly, like, started noticing that whenever I was doing any sports-related, like, focusing activity, that, like, everything was twice as quiet in my head when I wanted it to be. And so it's really impressive. And I they've given me an audio visualization device that I'm going to be bringing on the road with me that has like some really cool visualization exercises, because I'm like a terrible visualizer. I don't know, Simon or Eagle, if you guys have done visualizing, but if I try to do visualizing, my movie is like the most erratic, glitchy thing ever. It does not play the way you would think a normal movie plays. Like, all of a sudden, if I try to visualize myself throwing a shot, all of a sudden I'm like on the tee, and then all of a sudden I've already thrown it, and then I'm back to not throwing it, and then I just jump everywhere in my head and not being able to like center myself in one spot.
I probably have ADHD that, because that's kind of what happens when I do it. But would you say, like, obviously the neurofeedback, getting sessions done, that's going to move the needle the quickest. But a lot of what you're doing, do you think if you have the right information, could you do it yourself in a lot of ways?
I think that it depends on the severity of your diagnosis, because I agree, like, the lessons that I'm learning now, like, seem obvious to me as I like say them out loud. Like, it's all the stuff that I've already been saying, but I didn't really get it. It was just like words to me before, and I needed that much invasiveness from this type of feedback training in order to truly see and truly train like those distracted areas of the brain, because otherwise I don't think I remember feeling a bit helpless the last like year or two with that distraction stuff, feeling just like there is no amount of book reading or talking to somebody at BetterHelp online once a week that is gonna like actually make me do work when I need to do it. And There needs to be something more. It needs to be more than that.
Discipline and accountability.
Yeah, but it like this is it. This is my placebo wants it to feel that way. That it is like, and I mean it's way more than that. I believe that it is like it was the thing that I was thinking I needed, the invasiveness that I was thinking I needed into my head in order to figure out how to focus. And it has been like, even playing chess, my mind's gotten so much quieter, and it's been fueled with all the other things that I want to do, and fueled with the season coming up and the packing. But this last month,
you've been telling me that not just people with ADHD choose a treatment like this. It's athletes and, say, anybody who needs precision, say, like a surgeon, jet fighter pilot, and things along those lines, right?
Yep. Yeah, they do. They work with, they work with ADHD, autism. They work with high trauma, so firefighters, cops, detectives, ER doctors, and then they work with professional athletes as well.
Wow, that's super cool. I'm excited to hear more, either on this podcast or off the podcast. How many more sessions do you have left?
I think I've done 41 or 42, and I have, the typical number is 40.
That's a lot. Wow.
Yeah, the typical number is 40 sessions. I think I'm going to do 50 because they want to train one more network that they haven't gotten to train yet. Essentially, scientifically, what's happening is you're forcing those areas of the brain to do all the work. And they told me, I mean, I'm not a brain scientist, but what they told me is happening is that your brain is actually building new neuro pathways in those areas as it learns to like train. So it's literally just like working out that muscle in the brain, that side of the brain, and it creates new
nerve cells that fire together, wire together.
And so That's I have like eight more, so I think I'll end up with maybe just over 50 sessions total, and then you're done. Basically, you don't have to go back. They're sending me with this device with it's like a visualization trainer, and that's something they want me to do as many days a week as I want. They said like once a day is great, as much as I can, and then they said you can go back to just like continue working, but the bulk of the dysregulation work is done after 40 sessions.
Wow. Well, that was an in the lab / literally inside the circle of Joey's mind. That's awesome, Joey. I'm glad to hear it. That's
wild.
That's pretty crazy. And if you
want to do it too.
It has been life changing. It has been totally life changing. I would, if anybody, even just to go in and see the assessment done or like just see it once, I would highly recommend just to like, I personally, aside from anything else, I love having a slight open mind and just like trying something once at like a low risk just to see. And this was something for me that was, I already felt like was a no-brainer, and I am so grateful that I did it. So if
it's
anybody,
definitely a brainer, though.
Yeah. If anybody comes up, brainer. If you want to talk more about it, anybody who sees me out on the road, just ask me about it. We can definitely, I'll answer as many questions as I can, and I have like two videos on my phone that I can show of how stupid I look.
I want to see you flying that plane.
It is not a ride I would recommend anybody get on. It is a, I don't think you would keep your lunch even now at my highest level of focus.
I wonder if there's some YouTube videos about people doing that at different stages of being able to like fly it perfectly versus just being all over the place and kind of with explanations and improvements like along the way. I'm intrigued.
I bet there is.
I found my next rabbit hole. Thank you.
I don't think I have time to do it this off season, but perhaps the next.
No, you don't have time this off season. It's just it would be because it's 40 hours of training that you need to have done basically in order for the. But if you find the right clinic, you can get it done in a 1 month span. I couldn't believe that they were able to accommodate 40 sessions in 35 days, basically.
That's awesome. You know, sometimes it's meant to be.
So shout out to Bhakti Brain Health Clinic in Edina, Minnesota. They've been amazing. And I guess we'll see. Let's see. We'll come back to this episode if I go out and kick some butt on tour this year. But that is obviously why I've been spending all this time and all this money and all this effort into physical and mental training this off season. And that is to be a good disc golf player at my most. I may wear a lot of hats. I may be doing a lot of media content, but at the end of the day, this little boy still wants to be a pro disc golfer. So
focus is key, and that will translate to all areas of your disc golf life. All right, me or you, Simon?
How long's your game? My game is potentially very fast. 5 minutes, I hope.
My game is probably 10 minutes. So let's have you go first.
Okay, so I was on a date night last night with my wife, and I told her I urgently need a game for my podcast. So this is what we came up with. So I'm going to read a couple things to you guys, and you guys are only allowed to give one word answers. Like the first thing that pops into your mind regarding to what I say is what you can say, and then afterwards we can discuss your answers or we can just move on to the next.
Do we say it at the same time or are you gonna cue us?
So I have four different categories of each five things, and let's say Eagle goes first in the first category and then Joey in the second and so on.
Okay.
All right, so Eagle goes first with a one-word answer. The first, this is all disc golf related, by the way. So the first category is disc golf professionals. You only can get to say one word. Okay, so this is players. Paul McBeth.
Pablo.
Goat.
Calvin Heinberg.
Burger.
Goofball.
Joey Buckets.
Hat.
Mischievous.
Chris Dickerson.
Chicken.
Hattie B's.
Nate Sexton.
Squeaker.
Papa.
There we go, and that sums up the first category. Did you enjoy that? And what the hell is Squeaker?
Like how he squeaks him over the rim.
Oh, he does. Oh, you're right. Every freaking putt.
Anytime anytime I barely make a putt, I think of Nate Sexton. Sorry, Nate. We love you, but that's just what comes to mind. It's a positive thing because you're making your putts.
All right, should we go to the next category? Move on. All right, Joe, you answer first. So this is courses. Winthrop Gold.
Clutch.
Ugh.
Maple Hill.
Amazing.
Oi, oi, oi. What's going on?
Joey goes first.
Sorry.
Paradise.
Amazing.
Fox Run Meadows.
Green.
Vermont.
Oh, yeah.
I need faster answers, guys. You're thinking too much. I went first thing. Okay. Idlewild.
Bill Randolph.
What?
That's two words. Sweaty.
Ooh.
Northwood Black.
Thorns.
Heinold.
Wow. I was anticipating very different answers. You guys are killing it. Northwood Black Thorns?
I don't know.
Is that a thorny course? I've never perceived that.
I think of it as like just, I still, in my mind, it's still the course that's like needing to get broken in and the rough is rough. So that's where my brain went.
And Eagle, for you, Winthrop Gold brings up, that's not good.
It's not good.
All right, next category. Eagle answers first. The category is discs. Of course, I'm sticking to our brand. Pyro.
Chunky.
Kaiser.
Crave.
Servo.
Servo?
Yeah.
I had nothing good. Nothing came into
anything.
My head.
It doesn't have to be good. Everything is good, Joey.
Flip dog.
Panic.
Widespread.
Money.
Pixel.
Nomad.
Floaty.
Glitch.
Fun.
Catch.
Wow, there we go. Fun and catch. Like that is the
good
answers I wanted to hear.
Uh-huh.
So Eagle, when I say crave, you think of servo.
Yes.
Why? Because that, in your opinion, that's a better crave?
I mean,
because I throw servo rather than crave.
The first thing I thought of the crave was that crave, the I thought of my crave that I have in my bag. And that crave has the double saber-tooth tiger skull on it, like the OTB open with like the crisscrossing tusks on it.
Yeah,
that was what I didn't know how to put that into one word. What did I say? So I said saber-tooth tiger skull crossbones.
Yeah. Any of that would have been good. All right, last one. Now you have to answer really, really fast.
Okay.
The category Joey answers first is brands. Discmania.
Fanboy.
UC.
Prodigy.
Will Schusterick.
Kale.
Discraft.
DOS.
Ricky!
Innova.
Jeff Panis.
Dunapace.
So now you're just answering with people. I love it. Gateway.
Eagles Crossing.
Locastro.
Wow. Okay, well, that was my game of the day. I hope you enjoyed it. It went a bit different than I expected. But what did you think? Was this a game we can repeat at
this
some point? Or is it done forever?
This is hilarious.
Okay.
I think it's good. I think it's the best game for like the Crush Pepper After Dark when you can really say everything.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily.
Oh, did you have? Did you hold back on your answers?
Yeah, it's like the second thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
That's not the game. It was supposed to be the first thing.
Yes, but
that's what makes it interesting.
This is a family friendly podcast. We got to put a little bit of a filter on. There's children listening.
I still think it's good though. I think with the right topics, it's absolutely good. I think it's fun. I found actually that the first one through, I was having trouble thinking of something fast, and I saw that Eagle was closing his eyes, and I was like, ooh, that's actually a good idea. So I actually found more success coming to something quicker when I closed my eyes.
Great idea.
All right, well, Eagle, your turn.
Okay, I have a game, and I want to ask you guys, do you want to hear an unsolicited advice every single week?
Yeah,
okay. Of course.
Okay,
this is a
quick one. My unsolicited advice for this week is electric salt and pepper grinders. Hear me out. These salt and pepper grinders, you just press a button, or some of them don't even have buttons, and you just tip them over, you turn them upside down, and they start grinding pepper or salt. Why is this useful? If you're seasoning meat and you have one hand on the meat and you need to flip it, you don't need to grind the pepper or like open the salt. You can just grab the salt or pepper, tip it over, and it seasons it. It is like a total hack and makes life way easier. Because I remember I actually FaceTimed Joey, and he was cooking a big piece of salmon, and he was going like salmon, rubbing it in, then grabbing the salt, pepper, getting it all fishy, and then going back and forth.
Throwing
and
me under the bus out here.
I was just thinking like
everyone does it, Joey.
He needs a salt pepper grinder where he can have one designated hand for meat flippage, and then his other hand can be for seasoning. So it's like, you know, on Amazon you can get some pretty good deals on it, like 15, 20 bucks. So it's changed my life. I'm not going back.
When did you get them?
Well, the only thing I want to say to that real quick is that I'm someone who enjoys sounds a lot. And this, when you like do it yourself manually with a pepper crusher, grinder, whatever it's called.
You don't want to hear.
I don't want to put pepper on my food hearing. I want to hear like that adds to the experience. So I'm not fully sold on your advice there, but I can see the benefits. But I think the sound and doing it manually is just too satisfying.
So it has to be a quiet motor, like a silent motor.
No,
does it need to have like a built-in speaker and it does like ASMR sounds for you?
That would be next level, like a e-vehicle that has motor sounds playing, so it feels like you're driving in a gasoline car.
You know, maybe it'll exist at some point. We need a good hardy engineer to design us this amazing multi-purpose spice grinder.
Did you
it's like a basket that sounds not fun. Like there's some baskets that sounds really pleasant and good, and there's baskets that just don't sound good. Like I don't care which basket it catches better. If it doesn't sound good, I'm not interested. I need a basket to sound like crisp and fresh and happy.
I was about to say crisp. Crisp is the key word.
It is.
Well, is that Cheney. Were you going against the Mach-X there, Eagle, saying like you don't like the way it sounds? Because
I like the way it catches, but I don't like the way it sounds.
Okay.
It's kind of
a
dull thud.
100%. 100%.
It's a great basket, but the sound isn't there.
It makes you feel weak. Those chains don't even flinch. You putt as hard as you can, and those chains are just like, what did you just do? Oh, did something just hit me? Oh, I didn't even notice that. But when you put against like a veteran, those chains acted like they just got hit by a hurricane or something.
Yeah. Crisp and juicy is what you want in a basket, at least for sound. Okay, are we ready for my game? It shouldn't take too long. So
let's go.
This is a take on two truths and a lie, but it is called disc or fiction. I had no idea how many discs are in existence at this point. And if you go to the PDGA, oh my gosh, some of the names are absolutely wild. So I'm going to list three different disc names. Two are real PDGA approved, and one is made up by me. You guys need to guess which one of the three is the fake one. Let's play. I
think Griplock does play this game.
Well, we're playing it.
Okay.
I have 10 rounds and one bonus round. All right, round one. Prickly pear, guava, or strawberry. Which one is the real disc? Or no, the fake disc.
Who goes first?
We'll alternate. So Simon first.
The fake one is strawberry.
Yep.
That's Joey's answer?
Mm-hmm.
You both are correct.
Let's go.
Oh my God. Okay, nice, nice. Round two. The cowboy, troublemaker, or the chimp?
I've never heard of the troublemaker, but if that's real, I love it.
Joey's first.
I'm saying the troublemaker is the fake
chimp
disc.
Troublemaker, cowboy. I mean, cowboy, could that be like a Lone Star Discs disc? I've never heard of it. I'm going to go cowboy.
The fake disc is the cowboy. The troublemaker.
Let's go.
The troublemaker is made by a Chinese brand called San Kian Pu, and the chimp is made by Gorilla Performance Discs.
Oh.
Round.
I love that I'm 2 for 2.
What is the troublemaker? What is it?
I don't know. I didn't do that amount of research to get the mold. Okay. Round number three. Starbucks, Snow Fox, or Cancer?
Whoa.
Simon's first.
I'm going with a bit of a reverse psychology approach to this game. I'm thinking, what would Eagle make up? And there's no way you would make up Starbucks. That would be way too clever. So that's definitely a real disc.
Really?
Repeat the last one.
I disagree. I'm saying Starbucks.
The options is Starbucks, Snow Fox, and Cancer.
It can't be the Starbucks. That's a patented name. You can't just name something after something that has a trademark.
I'm going to go with Cancer is not real.
Joey?
I'm going to be surprised again. Oh, I said Starbucks. Starbucks is fake.
The fake disc is Snow Fox.
We both messed up.
Starbucks, it's two words. Starbucks.
Oh.
And it's made by ex-UFO Ace Mold. And Cancer is made by XCOM Discs. Cancer, granted, is like from the astrology. So like Pisces, Aries, and whatnot.
That's still not a good disc name.
Is Simon in the lead right now? You have 2 points and I have one?
Yep.
All right. Round four. Mortal Kombat, Shadow Slicer, or Valhalla Reaper?
God.
I'm going to go with the... Joey goes first, sorry.
Shadow Slicer is the fake disc.
I was going to say the same thing.
Both the same answer?
Yeah, Shadow Slicer is made up.
Mortal Kombat is the fake disc. Shadow Slicer is made by Qingdao Hippo Sports Products, and Valhalla Reaper is made by Orbital Discs.
What was the first
company?
I think
I've heard about the Valhalla Reaper.
What was the first company again? That's who I want to be sponsored by.
Qingdao Hippo Sport Products.
Yes. Can I want that name Qingdao announced off the box.
No.
Joey, I bet you can make it happen. I bet you could make it happen.
You're on the right team, MVP. Okay, so no point for either one of you there. Round five. the Golden Gate Bridge, the Statue of Liberty, or Mount Rushmore?
Oh, no. Those are all horrible names. The Statue of Liberty, Golden Gate Bridge, Mount Rushmore. Well, Mount Rushmore is the best disc name, so that's good. I'm going to go with the Golden Gate Bridge is fake.
Joey?
My gut has betrayed me the last two rounds, so I'm questioning everything. I'm going to say Statue of Liberty.
The fake disc is Mount Rushmore.
No. We are horrible at this game.
Golden Gate Bridge is made by Giant Industry, and Statue of Liberty is also made by Giant Industry. And after listening to this podcast, they're going to have a disc called the Mount Rushmore.
Wow. Is that in America, that brand? You don't know. It must be.
They have to be. Round six. Okay. Apple Blossom, Mystic Grove, or Giving Tree?
The fake disc is hopefully Apple Blossom. Oh, wait. Eagle goes first. Joey goes first. Sorry.
Mystic Grove.
Apple Blossom.
The fake disc is The Giving Tree.
Gee.
No.
Apple Blossom is made by Göringer Discs and Mystic Grove by Albatross Disc Golf.
Tell me you didn't use ChatGPT to make up some of those disc names.
No, I tried to make some that kind of paralleled. All right, round seven. Simon still in the lead. Cockatiel, Chickadee, and Cardinal. Which is the fake disc?
The first one.
Yep.
I know the other two.
Yeah.
You are both right.
Oh,
Cockatiel is the fake disc. So,
what is a
Simon
Cockatiel?
Simon has three.
Wait, that's Stokely discs, right?
Cardinal is Stokely discs. Chickadee is Grassland discs.
Oh, okay.
What is this third? Yeah, what is that? What is that?
A cockatiel? It's like a little kind of like parrot looking bird.
Oh.
It looks like a chickadee that put on some clown makeup, honestly.
What's the difference between that and a cockapoo? Cockatoo.
That's a different podcast. Round number eight. Flying squirrel, super squirrel, or deranged squirrel?
Joey goes first.
I want to guess that it's deranged squirrel is the fake disc because I feel like the flying squirrel, and then they would like make a little glidier version and they would call it the super squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
That's my
guess.
Good
logic.
Yeah, if the deranged squirrel is a disc, then I'm going to buy it today. That's my guess as well.
Well, get out your shopping carts.
Which is the fake disc from both of you?
Deranged.
Deranged squirrel.
The fake disc is Super Squirrel. Flying Squirrel is made by ABC Discs and Deranged Squirrel by Orbital Discs.
Oh, they're different
Orbital
companies.
Again.
They're different companies. All right. No point. Round number nine. The Abomination, The Disaster, or The Rapture. Which is fake.
Sorry, I was looking up deranged squirrel on Google.
Disaster.
What the heck is this?
All right, Joey's answer is Disaster. What is Simon's answer?
I forgot to listen. Give me the other two.
Abomination, Disaster, and Rapture.
Rapture. Oh. Abomination, not a real disc.
Joey ties it up. The fake disc is The Disaster. Abomination is made by Doomsday Discs and The Rapture by Orbital Discs.
Orbital is getting a shout out on this podcast right now. Where are they from?
I have no
idea. I
want to
be sponsored by Orbital Discs.
Okay, we're going to, before doing round 10, because it's the most ridiculous, we're going to do the bonus MVP round. I'm going to list three MVP discs and which one is not real. All right. The Inspire, the Alias, or the Radiance. How well do you know MVP?
Joey goes first or Simon?
It's Simon. Joey went first last.
Inspire what and what?
Inspire, Alias, and Radiance.
I'm going to say that Alias is not a real disc.
Joey?
Dun, 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 Radiance. Dun, 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 dun. I'm saying Radiance.
Joey takes the lead! The Inspire and Alias are out of production MVP discs, but Radiance was made up by me. I don't think you guys are ready for the final round.
I need to tie it up.
Okay. Round number 10, the final round. You have the Parking Bob, the Boom Boom Bob, or the Choo Choo Bob.
No.
Which one is real? Or which one is fake?
Joey has to go first, thank God. And I have to take something else. So I only have two options. I like it.
Do you need to hear him again?
Parking Bob, Choo Choo Bob,
Boom Boom Bob.
And Boom Boom Bob.
I am going to say that Boom Boom Bob is the fake disc.
All right, I'm going to go with Choo Choo Bob.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joey Tamale is your champion.
Oh my God.
Parking Bob is made by Fotcot Discs, as well as Choo Choo Bob by Fotcot Discs. Yikes. They also have the Glow Bob, and I believe there's another Bob in their lineup. If anybody wants a fun little laugh, go look up Choo Choo Bob and see the stamp. It's literally a cat in like a conductor's outfit that says "All aboard Choo Choo" on it. Amazing.
That is shocking.
It's actually what?
Yeah.
Look at this
horrible
picture.
List names. I'm mind blown too.
You're looking at the picture. This. It's absolutely mind-blowing how many disc brands there are and how many the names are getting pretty crazy. And, you know, it makes sense because
look at the design contrast between the way they drew the cat's head and the way they drew the pants and the rest of the body. It's like two completely different clashing styles of art.
I looked on YouTube because I wanted to see a disc review of any sort of Bob discs, and I couldn't find any. This is not throwing shade at any company, but I'm just, man. Let's just say this. A lot of the good games, not all the good names are taken, but a lot of them are. A lot of them are.
Wow, that is nuts. I thought I had decent disc knowledge, but I'm clearly not even close.
Well, everyone, well, that was a fantastic hour and 15 plus minutes there. Let's quickly run through the latest in the disc golf world before we wrap up. First news, couple big trilogy additions. Evan Smith signs a deal with Dynamic Discs, and Heidi Leine signs a deal with Westside. Another notable move, Kona Montgomery announced she's returning to Innova. Cool to see her back home, mm-hmm. per se. And something that's maybe not as publicly talked about, but happening this week, is the tour council elections are happening. Did you guys see your ballot? I did my voting. Did you guys vote?
I voted.
I did not vote.
Vote.
I trust my fellow competitors.
It's fair.
I'm happy with whoever does it, honestly. I don't even have a preference.
We have a really great,
amazing,
really great group of people, honestly, representing us. And I think
you just can't go wrong.
No, I do. I think that the people who are putting in the time and effort to make a bid to run are the right people for the position.
Okay, here's the one question I have. I'm not going to ask you who you voted for, but did you read their little bios before you voted, or did you just vote based off of who you wanted to see?
Well, so the way that they had it set up is you couldn't see the name right off the bat if they didn't say it in their little statement. So at the beginning, I was trying to guess who it was based on what I was reading at first. And then I got tired of that. So at the beginning, I would just go down and see who it was. And then I would go back up and read afterwards and try to decide if I thought that they were lying or not.
I didn't read it all. I just went off of my gut instinct.
Well, and
can I still vote? Is it too late to vote? Or
no, you can still vote. You should.
I
have
might
a...
go do that right now.
It should be in your inbox.
Mm-hmm. It's from Brian Cole, I think is the email.
Look it up. Brian Cole. Here we go. Here's my ballot.
Should we do it live? Don't tell us who you vote for, but just do the.
While Simon's voting, in other news, Luka Doncic goes to the Los Angeles Lakers in a shocking trade. I woke up this morning, and my dad, the first thing he says, craziest trade just happened. And I'm like, wait, did Steph Curry get traded? He's like, no. I'm like, did LeBron get traded? He's like, no. And I'm like, then who got traded? He's like, Luka Doncic. And pretty nuts. Anthony Davis going to the Dallas Mavericks. My goodness. Big. This is it's a wild trade. I think I don't even really know what to think of it. Perhaps Luka has a little bit more longevity. I think Luka is 25 and AD is 32, and I think Luka has the potential to be the face of the Los Angeles franchise for potentially the next decade. Mavs were in the finals last year, so there's some questionable decision making there. Didn't Mark Cuban sell the Mavericks, from what I've heard? Do you know about that, Joey?
I do not know the specifics on the Mavericks ownership state, but I will first off say to all of our Eastern European listeners and our basketball fans, I'm sorry for Eagles butchering of Doncic as
my
the last
apologies
name. When you see the C, it's just CH. That's how
I'm
I
not
read.
Even going to be allowed into Slovenia.
No, John. It's just Doncic. No, it's a huge move. It's obviously gigantic for both teams. I would argue that it seems to me that the Mavericks felt like they.
It's like trading a servo for a Crave.
I mean, I feel like it's like trading a servo
dimension for a delirium.
No, I think it's like a servo for a delirium in terms of like, because they're both really valuable to your bag, but they serve very different purposes.
Right.
And I would say that, you know, I think maybe Dallas felt like losing Kristaps Porzingis was a bigger hole than they realized, because they have not had a huge big man presence since he left. And I think that they decided that they could do without his guard abilities because of Kyrie Irving, and they needed to solidify the big man in that lineup in order to make a deep run. And maybe that's true, because
the Nuggets are going to play the Lakers a lot better now.
Yeah.
AD was the toughest part about playing the Lakers. He was the big guy in the way, but now Lakers aren't so scary for the Nuggies.
Not anymore. Simon, you voted?
I voted. I feel good about it.
Did you read the descriptions, or did you just...
No, I did not read. I voted off of who I know aligns with my personal preferences on rules and tours and schedules and all that stuff. And that's all.
Oh, here's one that you can share. What did you put as your top priority for the tour console to be in charge of when you could sort those, when you sorted?
Oh, man.
What did I say? What did you say, Eagle?
I think it was something about, I forget. It was, I know, yeah, I know tour and schedule was up there for
me. Yeah, that was number two for me. Tour schedule.
Importance. There was one that was definitely above all the rest. I think it was like, something like promotion and media, something along those lines.
Oh, promotion of
I have it
players.
Here.
Oh, here we go.
Read them off.
Well, I have to resort them now because I already closed what I had earlier. So now I got to quickly resort it the way I had it.
Open it up. This is turning into a Crush Pepper XL podcast. We are past the 125 minute mark. Anything above the 125 minute mark in the future is going to be a Crush Pepper XL. Maybe that'll be the name of this podcast, or the name of the podcast could potentially be, what was it prior? Nose Whistle?
Choo Choo Bob.
We can't name it Choo Choo Bob, unfortunately.
Nose Whistle.
MVP wouldn't be
happy. I had one. I also had Choo Choo Bob as an option, by the way. But my other one was Crisp and Juicy Baskets.
Crisp and Juicy Baskets.
I like Crisp and Juicy Baskets.
We all want Crisp and Juicy Baskets.
That's true. That's true.
Do you have
all right, let that sink in. And so, what topics are most important to you for the Players Council to discuss this year? So there's 8 total, and my number 1 is player safety. Number 2 is tour schedule. Number 3, course equipment standards.
That was my number 1.
That was my number 1 too.
Course equipment standards.
I put player safety. I put player safety as number 1 because I don't know. There's been a couple times where I'm like, I feel like we are so easily accessible for people that are not really checked on.
I mean, honestly,
what they bring
like,
to the course and stuff
like
that.
Nashville was crazy.
Yeah, like sometimes I just don't really feel overly secure, honestly. So that's important to me.
Gosh, you make me want to put that higher.
Look, you know what?
Tour schedule, I think, is really important.
You can tackle me as long as I can put on a basket that doesn't spit out. I'm fine. It's just like, if I have to, if the moment I leave the autograph tent, I just get absolutely mobbed, like in like a total tush-push dog pile, I'll trade that for good baskets.
Fair enough. And then 5 is media policies, 6 is tour and player promotion and public relations, and 7 is banned substances and testing. That's like not important to me at all. And then 8 was other. And I wrote, courses need to get shorter and the basket needs to get smaller.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
That I agree. Perfect list. We should have done a blind ranking with those, honestly.
That would have been a really good idea.
That would have been fun. Opportunity wasted.
Oh, well.
All right, boys, 25 minutes. We did it. 1 hour and 25 minutes, I mean.
Crush Pepper
podcast
XL.
Name? Crisp and Juicy Baskets?
I'm down with that.
Crisp and Juicy Baskets.
All right, I enjoyed it. Thanks for all the stories. And we'll see you next week where...
They'll hear us next week.
They'll hear us next week.
They're not going to see us.
And unfortunately, this was recorded before the Ricky Wysocki news drops, but we will definitely take note of that and discuss it next week as well, even though this podcast will drop after the announcement. But we're just going to hold back on our comments since nothing's been publicly announced yet. And with that said, take it easy, boys. See you next time.
Take it easy. You guys are the best listeners in the world, and we adore you for it. Keep on dreaming, and peace.
All right, we're all check today.